Well, hello there. That's the Soweto String Quartet with Kofifi. It's an inside joke. Call and let me know if you get it. It's from their 1998 album, Millennia. This is Lead Stories. I'm your Trace Lead, and it's Free Your Mind. The number to call is 888-874-4888. And this is a time then that we gather together and just trade ideas and opinions, strong opinions even, and we talk things through. And as you can tell from recent events, we really need to talk things through because we're being showered all over the place with very, very sad news and crazy activities that are going on that are killing people off left and right, and for reasons that I think at some point were fixable. But when things go beyond the point of being fixable, we get unusual activities that are very, very dangerous and explosive. 888-874-4888. Edgewater, you're on the air.
Hello, Utrice and the PRN audience.
Hope Thank you. Hello to you.
Thank you. Thank you. Yes, I was wondering what they plan to do with all these statues. Maybe a good idea. We can give them to Donald Trump, and he can put them on his golf courses. And are we just going to stop with statues? Or if we think about it, the pyramids in Egypt have to come down. Because dark-skinned people there enslaved other dark-skinned people to build those pyramids. And the Great Wall of China has to come down. And all the railroad tracks in the United States have to be torn up. And it could go on and on and on and on and on. And where does it end? In fact, the game of golf is racist. It should be abolished. They should turn all the golf courses into public housing. Affordable housing for people. That's what I think.
Okay. And that's what we heard. Thanks a lot for calling and getting us started today. Marie from Baltimore, you're on the air.
Afternoon again. I hate to be a pest, but I had wanted to call you last week on this situation. Sunday, August the 6th on C-SPAN, Dr. Ben Carson spoke to an audience of young white people, it looked like. I don't know where because I tuned in late. I didn't see any non-whites. Carson was sitting, and he was talking to the audience in a bedside manner, like a doctor would. One thing I remember he told the audience is to be nice to each other. And, for example, he mentioned when you enter a elevator to greet the people. Now, I had learned not too long ago, women do not go into elevators greeting people. They stand near the door in case anything happens. Not long ago, I heard on the – oh, I'm sorry, I said that. On the other side, Trump, same day, some TV station told the police to be rough with convicts entering the automobiles as police usually put their hands on the back of their heads to protect them. And then someone mentioned that Sessions stated to lock them up and throw away the key. And then earlier that same Sunday morning on television, a white lawyer stated Trump was only kidding when he was saying to be rough with convicts.
Don't necessarily feel, he was saying to cops, you don't have to treat criminals. He was referring to a situation, but he said, don't feel the need to be too polite.
Mm-hmm.
But he didn't say, go ahead and beat him up. He didn't say that. He said, don't feel the need to be polite. The police reacted very, very loudly about that, saying mm-hmm. that they didn't appreciate him saying that because he was endorsing publicly the view that the cops regularly beat people up. So mm-hmm. the police unions did not take well to that comment that Trump made.
Well, where he was making this speech, there were policemen in, standing behind him. I'm just sorry, I don't know the name of the school or whatever it was, about four or five rows of people in law enforcement, and they clapped. The thing is, I have to say this,
not in defense of Trump. Mm-hmm. But in praise of the police officers who did not know where this came from, mm-hmm. He just got up and said it, and I guess in reaction, trying to be polite and trying to roll over this awful statement that he made. Many realized it was an inappropriate statement, but he was in fact. At the time he made the statement, the commander in chief of the country. And I think as a kind of gesture, I don't think that they all believed that. I think many did, mm-hmm. but not to the extent that they represented the majority view. They just, wanted to just get over an embarrassing moment. And here's the president again, putting his foot in his mouth, yes. And they were trying to salvage the situation.
Mm-hmm. And I want to say this, too. You have Ben Carson, the head of housing, saying one thing, and he's saying something else differently.
Two different people.
Yeah,
Ben
true.
Carson, keep in mind, is a very, very religious man. And he doesn't hide that. He's very proud of it. And that's the way he has been for years. He's also an African-American man raised the old-fashioned way that when you see people, you acknowledge their existence and you say good morning or hello or something like that. So he's still operating within that way of being raised. He's not intending to do anything.
Thank you so much, dear.
Bye-bye. And you look at it the other way. I mean, here's Carson. I mean, I have major problems with him. But in the instance that you're talking about, what came forward most is he was operating well within the way he was raised. Mm. He wasn't acting as any official. He was just a human being going to pay a visit, an official visit to some other, to some place or the other, but he was operating well within how he was raised.
Well, I tell you, we'll just have to watch and see how this country goes.
Oh, yes, we do. Yes, we do. And don't for any reason despair. Don't
all
despair.
Right, dear. All right, dear. Have a good weekend. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Thanks for calling in. Rose from Queens, you're on the air. Hello, Rose? Okay, we will move on. Gwen from New York City.
How are you today, Trace?
Hello. How are you doing?
Hi. I'm hanging in there. I really am.
Great.
Okay, just one piece of news. I made it onto the ballot. Thank you. It was a boatload of work.
Let's give you a rah 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 there. You stuck it.
It was unbelievable. It's so much work, but we got it done. So I just wanted to reply. I didn't get to hear everything the first caller said, but I couldn't tell if he was just being totally cynical or if it sounded a lot like what Trump was saying. It was like, what are we going to do? Tear down every monument? And I think that nobody's asking for every monument to be torn down. I think there's two things that are very clear here. The monuments weren't put up right after the Civil War. The monuments were put up at a later time to underline that this racism was still very well alive and to put dog whistles out for people, something that they could latch on to. So it really wasn't put up in a timely way if it had any kind of bearing on, to pay homage to the people of the Civil War. But the other thing is that, you know, America has to understand it's one flag, one nation. And there was a Civil War here, and we should not be putting up, this is not a two-tiered system. We are not the South and the North, and we are separate. We are one nation and one flag, and we can't have two flags, and we can't have people that rebelled against the country being legitimized. So I think that, you know, if you went over to Germany, they probably wouldn't put up soldiers or generals that worked under Hitler and say, you know, we have to pay homage to this because we lost so many people in World War II. They would not do that. And I think that it was completely inappropriate to ever put them up. And I think that it's time has come to bring these down. And I'm not saying you have to melt them in a pot, but really, I think it's so in your face, and it adds to the palpability of the anger that's going on. And I am not satisfied in the slightest bit, like most people are not, with what Trump said. I think that he did not make it clear about the two different groups. One of the things I felt was really stunning was I was watching these fights on TV, and I clearly saw the Nazis come in with their gear, their shields, and they walked towards the other group, and they struck the first blow. So this is clear that these people came, permit or no permit, and attacked these other people. And, you know, the other people fought back. I call that self-defense. But I think that, you know, there's a new thing going around to remove all the staff, but having Steve Bannon at the top, who has clear racist views and a clear agenda, and the other guy.
He's gone, by the way. He's going to be gone.
I can't wait, but not soon enough. I mean, look at all the infestations of racists that are in there that you don't see, like Gorknik. Like, he's not right out in front, so nobody would really know, but him and his wife are, you know, declaring these very, very dangerous policies. But I think on the upside of all of this is that lots of people came out to those, you know, to that event the other day, and there were a lot of white people that were fighting back against white people. And I think that's a good thing. I think that means that, you know, that people have become much more aware. They are also getting involved in the activities to beat back racism. We're not anywhere near close to there. And, you know, we have this small population of people. I don't think it's small, but I think that the Trump base, I think, is about 32%. And although people dismiss it as being small, people also ought to be aware that Hitler had about the same amount of people that, you know, were supporting him for many years until the whole thing, you know, got big. But we need to be really careful of not just saying, well, it's just a small group of people. I'm glad that people came out and beat them back. And I'm actually even, I'll be frank with you, I'm really happy that the people that were out there protected themselves from, you know, the left side. I'm glad that they had helmets on. I'm glad they wore protective gear, because we always seem to go right up as lambs to the slaughter and just get, you know, our brains beaten out. But this time I think that at least people were, you know, they showed up. They didn't strike the first blow, but they were certainly not going to, you know, be knocked down without a fight.
Well, I have a different view.
I bet you do.
The reason we have all of these, yeah, I do have a different view, a slightly different one. We shouldn't be so quick to believe that what we saw was real.
Uh-huh.
It might have been that the one group was very carefully trained in the tactics that they were supposed to deploy on the day of contact, because they were just well-dressed for the occasion. And it told me that these people came there to cause trouble, the kind of trouble. We saw this in the 60s especially. We saw a lot of that.
Yep.
These
yep.
are infiltrators. These are people who themselves may be attached to some kind of a police or military unit, and they were there to look, you know, to play the part of people who were being set upon. And every now and then, when, you know, somebody landed a blow, they actually showed that they were using tactics that they were trained for. That's the first thing. So we can't judge this as a typical thing. If we were to dig deep enough, I think you find a pretty healthy representation of undercover cops.
Provocateurs.
Who have been trained. And that this event, which was very nasty indeed, under the cover that this might have been, you know, civil action, very uncivil action, actually, by by people in the area, what we might have seen was a trained group of people to let the violence go to a particular point and not beyond
it. Mm-hmm.
They solved the whole thing before it went into guns showing up and knives showing up and whatnot. That's the first thing. So just take it in as a visual, but without giving any credence that this was a people's action and people acting within the boundaries of their freedom of assembly and their right to express their political opinion. We may be totally wrong on those two counts. In trusting that what we were seeing was real. It might have been orchestrated. Number two, we have to keep into our minds, we have to understand that in much of the South, the politics obviously will be different. If we believe that it was wrong to have these statues and so forth, we're operating in a different era of American history than the people who have lived there for generations. Their sensibilities, their historical memory is very different from the North. And we have to keep that in mind. I have been to the South so many times, and you wouldn't believe the sweetness and the gentility and the courtesies that ordinary people are paying to each other, and they genuinely mean it until they get home and they sit at the dinner table and you, all that festering stuff comes out. They have learned to adapt, you know, to get people comfortable with the idea that they're not savages. They're not, you know, inhumane. They're just like you and me. And then in areas where they believe they are safe, and that is because they believe the other people that they're among share the same view. It's a closeted view. And my goodness, when it comes out, there it is. But we've never dealt with that reality that America, in fact, were two main countries, and then there were threats all over the place to be several different countries. And that was the fight. The North, the industrial North, had to survive somehow. And they would not have survived if the people of the South walked away. So they had to force them into being part of the country. And people still are not. Psychologically, they're not. Emotionally, they're not part of this country. And we've had even recently movements looking to sever ties with the United States and become their independent countries. They still have not acceded to this notion that we are one country. No, you go to... For example, you go to, as I have been, to a little out on the outskirts of Manitowoc, Wisconsin, for example. It's a little town. These are mostly farming people, and they've been farmers for several generations, and they are largely of German extraction. Yes, 4th of July, you could be sure there would be thousands and thousands of flags waving on the front porch. And then the evening comes and supper comes and people gather around the dinner table. And it doesn't sound very patriotic at all at dinner time. There's a reversion. They go through a process in order to reclaim their racist past. And they become the racist past. I've seen it. I know that, you know, it blew my mind that on the surface you're driving through this bucolic, wonderful land, beautiful, lush land, rolling hills and nice looking cows having their hors d'oeuvres or whatever it is that cows have before they have real dinner. And everything is fine. It's so peaceful. And these wonderful people said, you know what they call a little, when they are doing, trying to pick the rocks out, the large rocks out of the soil, so they don't get in the way of the blades and break the, crack the I don't know what the technical term is for the things that churn up the soil, like tillers.
Right. Oh, they're turning the soil.
Yes. And do you know what they call the rocks that have to be moved out of the way by hand? They call them nigger stones.
Oh, that's so nice.
And they're talking to black people about these complaining. And it's perfectly logical to them.
Right. Right.
They don't understand. So many, many little towns and hamlets and little cities all over Wisconsin.
Right.
They practice racism every single day. They can't see how anybody could judge them as racist. They're nice people. They make great pies. They go to church. Religiously, pardon that pun, but they don't see it. So one, I don't believe that what we saw were just people, the genuine of the genuine soil, having a bad time with each other. I think this was also a moment that was planned and that possibly. Right. Might have involved, you know, undercover people who were instructed from a while ago to basically, you know, gear up for a fight. The television crews were there. That everything was going just great from the point of view of an agitator.
Right.
So we ought to watch this a little bit more.
I will, and but I also want to
the coordinated tiki torches.
Right. I wanted to also tack on something else, though, that it was very great timing for President Trump, because just as that investigation was really starting to heat up, we flipped the table, and now nobody's talking about this all over again. And I doubt we'll be talking about that investigation for a long time until he fires the next person. So that was something else that I thought was interesting, was the timing, and even the idea of the guy that drove through the crowd and how similar that was to what happened in Europe. And why he chose that exact same tactic. And I guess the last thing I wanted to say is that, you know, I'm from a family that is totally divided. My father is from the Deep South. My mother is from Philadelphia. And also in my mother's family, Catholic and Protestant, that's another war, okay? But well, there's no war in our family over this. But, you know, my father's family's farm, they had no slaves, but it was burned to the ground in North Carolina when they came through during the Civil War. And when my mother and father met in New Jersey and my dad wanted to marry her, he took her home and his mother said, well, David, she's a nice girl, but she ain't going to marry no Yankee, are you? Now, that's how deep that was in their family.
Yeah.
And they never let it go either. I mean, all they could identify the North was the people that came down and burned everything in sight. So there are a lot of wounds there. But interesting, my father is, I guess, really, anybody who knows my father, he's just a benevolent man. And he did say something to me, you know, a while back, and that was, well, the funny thing is, he said, at least when you're going to the South, you know where you can go and where you cannot go. He said, but, you know, you're going to the North, and you never know when that knife is going to get stuck in your back, as everybody who's up in the North is talking about, being benevolent and not being racism, but there's a lot of racists here, and especially in New York. My little sister told me something she pulled up the other day, and I don't know if this is right, and I'm going to look into it, but Chris said that after all this happened, she checked to see the most hate groups in America were in Texas, but she said, do you know the second place that had the most hate groups? And I said, no. She said, New York. New York has the most. And as I've been out here, and I think I told you this, the anger and the viciousness of people, it's really palpable. I mean, it really, really is. And it's like everybody's sort of on a hair trigger. You know, if you mention that, you know, you're progressive, you could just get assaulted for that. That happened recently to me. Then it's just really flipping. And so it would be, I think, very good for all of us to do some introspection, you know, look around at your state, look around at your neighbors, and, you know, ask yourself who you are, too. Look inside of yourself. But it is an interesting time, and many things are coming to the table now. And I think maybe even in the midst of all this turmoil, this is stuff I think we're going to have to deal with either way. And, you know, it's never easy when you're turning the soil.
If you read a history book, written by a black scholar, and you read about a particular subject, pick any subject, and you read a corresponding book about the same subject by a white scholar, you cannot reconcile what accounts for this entirely, night and day kind of difference.
Yes.
New York City, that is talking all about this terrible stuff, right outside City Hall. Right outside the building of City Hall, and you go practically anywhere in any institution with paintings and, the artistic renderings and so forth. You go on Wall Street.
Exactly.
Yeah, you see, at one point, I forgot which bank it was on Vanderbilt Avenue, and there's a swastika embedded in the foyer as you open the great door. There it is, right there. And it's been there for years. Right outside City Hall, the depiction of Native Americans and of African Americans is deplorable. And it has been deplorable for a very long time. It has been installed and embedded there. You go to any museum and you see the representation of people of color, and certainly the First Nations people. It's a disgrace. They have no claim to this so-called, progressivism that they'd like to tell people that, you know, this is a city. Wall Street, and you should look at some of the depictions there, but then again, in a bizarre way, it's understandable. Wall Street, the first and the biggest trades were made over slavery.
Yes.
So they... The statues reflect how smart the white man was and how dumb and deservingly dumb that Native Americans and African Americans were. So this is an interesting story, but it would not be told. Now, the South, what we saw over the week, people would be conditioned to believe was absolutely correctly corresponding to the reality of history, but not the North. So it continues to this day. Not the North.
We are well-behaved, civilized,
wonderful people.
And that's one of the frustrations of the people that do live in the South and do remember even the economics of the Civil War and how much the North benefited from slaves. And that, you know, when you look back in history, it's only the South that we attribute to slavery.
I know. And that chronicles that occasioned a lot of other things. The land grabs, the war over land grabs, the war over who had the right to oppress whom. All of that tacked on to this psychological conditioning. So there's a lot more to look at when we analyze the situation in Charlottesville. There's a lot that it was driving that that incident, and we will have to get to it. But first, we have to figure out who was who. But I do love the idea, and that was the clue for me that there was something else driving this, because I love those little ticky torches. Everybody had the same one.
I know. It was really crazy.
When you're fighting, like, you don't take care that you have matching ticky torches, do you?
I never saw the backyard torches being used that way. But I guess it's just
to the point
new
where
technology.
The company had to disavow itself. The company had to put out an official statement. We don't make these torches so that people who we don't know would use them in the course of trying to start a full-scale riot. So, you know, police officers and other groups that are brought in to agitate, it's a nice look. A uniform, pardon that pun, a uniform look.
That is true, and I wonder who did provide all the tiki torches, you know? Somebody had to buy all of them to make it be the same.
That's right.
Somebody
who probably lives a life where every weekend is a tiki torch barbecue weekend. So don't take anything for granted. Everything is up for question. And
everything
we will
is up
certainly
for question,
see
but,
evidence
but
unfolding.
The problem is when you put too many questions out there, then you get thrown in your face, you're a conspiracy theorist. And
okay,
so
I can live with that.
because really there are so many strange things, events that keep happening over and over again in America, and some of these people all have very similar backgrounds, and then they all end up doing the same thing. And it's just very, very strange to me how the car that went in decided to, you know, just run over everybody. And the first thing people said was they talked about what happened in England. That was the first thing out of their mouth, is the same thing happened here as happened over there. I don't know. I mean, I just think we should. One of the other things that's so disturbing, when the cops kill every single person who goes in and does a terrorist act or something they think is, you know, threatening, they kill every single person. You know, it used to be in this country that you arrested them and you interrogated them to try to find out the reason, the cause, and who else was involved. It's called the police scene. But, you know, we don't do that anymore. The cops just go in and they shoot everybody right away. So you'll never know who that person actually was. All you know is what they tell you to know. And that's very disturbing. Even with the Boston Marathon, we'll never know about those boys. We really don't know much about those boys. We don't know about their backgrounds. And we don't know if we got any kind of accurate information. Just, you know, I think it was a fluke that the one kid ended up staying alive. But it's always this thing of shoot to kill first. And, you know, there's a bunch of things going on at the same time. It's almost every time there's a black person that's even suspected of, you know, whatever, or all made up suspicions, they kill them right away. That has to happen. Apparently the police have the right to do that. Now they have the right to rape you if they stop you. They have the right to rape women. I saw the woman, like I'm sure you did, who got raped by the policeman while being stopped. They said it was a traffic stop and they raped her. But there was another woman also that asked a question about two cops when walking down the street. She got in her car to walk away because the cops rebuffed her. They stopped her 10 minutes later, dragged her out of her car, and beat her on her front lawn, punching her in the face. I mean, something's really going on here. It's very,
yes,
very disturbing.
Yes, I'm saying keep your mind open. Don't come to any conclusions yet. My whole thing was the tiki torch.
Somebody took the
coordinated with the tiki torches. Well, by the way, the latest news is Steve Bannon has been fired. And this is going to be his last day.
Oh.
Well, thanks a lot for calling. Keep thinking about
nice.
These things.
Thank
until
you for,
the
ending,
next time
thank
we
you
talk.
For ending the conversation with that. All the good news, Mr. Patrice.
Thank you so much for calling and contributing today, Gwen. Great talking with you, as usual. Let's talk to Julie Oh, no. We just did talk to Julie. We can now talk with... Oh, Willie, you're up next.
Oh, wow. Am I on with you?
Yes.
Of all the persons in the world?
It's also the other way around. Am I on with you of all the persons in the world?
It's so wonderful. I really am so happy that you enjoy yourself just doing what you do. So much. Sometimes I'm listening, I'm saying, that sister is having so much fun with us and our stupidity. Because, you know.
It's great. You know, it's the best way to form a community. You get like-minded people. I have not encountered in the years of doing the program a truly reprehensible person on air. And even if I do, my mentality is, well, let's have a good time with talking to this person.
I'm not talking about that. I'm just saying that how stupid we are. Because with the many, many years you've been teaching and teaching and teaching, and the thing we open our mouth and say, respectfully, I'm saying that respectfully to my family. You know, I'm saying, I can't believe that we haven't learned, you know. And sometimes the way present things, I said, oh, wow. And it makes me feel really, really, really good. Now, with the events of what's going on, Utrecht, I have no interest in it. None at all. I'll tell you why. Look, this has been taught by you. We have so many people to teach us. Now, the truth is, we started this, in my judgment. I know a lot of people are going to be upset at me for saying this. Listen, when that sister pulled that flag down, I think it was in the Carolinas, somewhere. I can't believe she did something like that. You touched that flag? Are you really serious? I was really scared. I was going out of my mind. I said, I can't believe you're that silly and dumb to do something like that. Listen, I know that flags represent a lot of pain, hatred, terror, you name it. But that's the kind of people you're dealing with. And it's their history. So no, I have no interest in their flaggers, this, that. No. We should have them. What we should do is teach our children what it means, you see, and what it the history behind it and what it represents. Now, come Labor Day, we on Eastern Parkway in Brooklyn.
Yes.
We're going to have a big, big, great, big party. I mean, the whole world, cameras from all over the world will be showing us. Everybody is up there with some flag. We have Jamaican, Guyanese, Barbados, all kind of nonsense, which none of which you are. I know historic for a fact you're one thing and one thing alone. That's African. What if we went up there with one flag, the African flag? Then I would participate in that. But in your madness, see, I'm different than that one and that. No. That's very, very wrong. And you expect these people to behave like you do? You must be out of your mind. So we are the ones that actually started this. Suppose you say, listen, we have just imagine the shockwave that was sent around the world. Oh, they come to their senses. Look at these people. Wow. They're not segmented, segmented people. They're one people. And look, by the way, that flag, I have no problem with the flag. We want the African Liberation Flag on the White House, on the Capitol, right next to and in every state where you have the Confederate flag, we want the African flag right next to it. It's a simple. The statues, okay. Now Turner, brilliant African brother, Harriet Tubman, and the list goes on and on. Well, we want monuments of them, too. You see what I'm saying?
So, yeah, but here's a thing to consider. In the so-called war between the North and the South, the flag conjures up all these deep-seated feelings of hatred and resentment between the North and South, because the flag, the national flag, is always going to be on top. Okay. And flags belong to countries. Okay. And countries become countries after they have fought for their freedom. That's never going to be recognized in the United States. The United States will never concede give deference to the Confederate flag, because it is a statement, and people don't understand this. This is a deep thing. The Confederate flag is a symbol of continued defiance. That's how the U.S. government sees it. And that's why we have, I mean, in their minds, the people who honor the Confederate flag, they are honoring their country that they have fought for. That's how they see it. And that, in their view, is the ultimate representation of keeping faith with your country. The country that they're keeping faith with is not the United States, but the Confederate States States.
Hmm? Okay, that's fine. But let me ask you, your country? Your country? Have you forgotten?
Oh, no, we all know that we have countries, and we have countries that we belong to in the Caribbean, and
I'm saying the indigenous people, you're talking about a country, and you don't include the indigenous people?
My point.
Have you forgotten?
Nobody includes the indigenous people, because from the word go, they weren't seen as human. Both sides agree that they should all be exterminated. Both sides agree to that.
That's okay.
They have no reason to exist here, even though this is their land, their country. The agreement also was from the very beginning that whether Confederate or whether you're working with the idea that the North is the capital of this nation, there is agreement that you have permission to kill off as many indigenous people as possible. In fact, that would be a great help to obliterate them.
Okay. Well, you know, the Nazis so far are the way they're behaving and carrying on. But we have to look at something. These people, I thought we were some really ignorant, foolish people. You know, the majority, we have the best minds among us. I'm not talking about those. But the Nazis, to my knowledge, outside of Namibia, the Nazis didn't kill black people. They annihilated Europe, which was Europeans. Was white people. So you're saying you're a Nazi. Do you know what they did to your very own people? Are you that ignorant?
The answer is yes. We are that ignorant.
I cannot think of another instance where the Nazis where they had killed off black people. So what this whole thing is telling me, they're not really. If it was just us being killed, there would not be no issue, as far as I know. And based on the history, it's another people. They are after too.
The issue there still comes down to being the same thing we're talking about. Whose country is it? And under what circumstance did they get the right to claim country? They don't say, well, we want to have our own philosophy and we want to have, you know, our own say in. They don't want to be part of anything. Because the basic premise is, if you're supreme, why do you need to be, talking and conversing? If you're supreme, it's just you. So you would have to annihilate everybody else who doesn't have supreme papers like you do.
I look at one of the finest human beings ever walked on this earth. His name was Muhammad Ali. And the way they tried to desecrate his memory, talking about a Muslim, look when he died. But there was 100,000 people that came from every corner of this earth. Why they came? I don't know.
Well, but I can tell
I
you.
I have to be there. Yeah, okay.
He enjoyed a status that nobody else enjoyed. Because everybody recognized his humanity and that it was incomparable at the time. There was nobody else like him at the time. He led a revolution, not against war, but for humanity. And that's where people, no matter where they are in the world, and no matter what they say they're fighting for, they tend not to fight against humanity. They tend not to. And Gandhi, I mean, you could differ with Gandhi politically. But what fueled all of his protests was the basic message that we are all human beings. That supplanted everything. That's why they hated him. The last thing they wanted was to have a guy win what they wanted, which was a war. Don't forget, here's one guy who did what the British army couldn't do, what the foreign nations couldn't do, which was to fracture India. If they couldn't have it whole, they will put it up in chunks. And one guy came along with this one idea, one belief, and it was based on humanity. And it was a concept much greater than the bullets and the cannons and the warplanes and everything else that they were doing to conquer this land. India is huge territory. Little bitty Britain believed that it could conquer the whole continent. Why? Because they got planes. They got bombs. They got everything.
Well, the United States is no different. They're running around the world behaving. You're talking about
British. Let me tell you, in this regard, the British were superior. Superior. They knew how to conquer people. They studied this thing and refined it. And that is how Little Britain could amass territories that are unimaginable to this day.
The sun never sets on the British Empire. That was literally true.
And it is absolutely true. And here's the other part of it. The queen, the current queen, is the richest woman in real estate. The queen has what are known as crown lands. Even after granting, quote, independence to other countries, she retains sizable portions of the lands of the countries that are supposedly liberated. You pick up the currency to this day of many countries that are liberated, and there's her face on it. So you have to have a sense of how people across the world organize to maintain control. Do you know there are people who are very proud that on every single level of currency, there is the Queen's face?
Well,
and
independent.
You're not independent.
I work with a fellow, and he's from Hong Kong, Chinese guy. And he told me he's British. I said, but yeah.
Who controls the money? And who controls the assets? So, in other words, they keep reinventing the formulas, or the formulae, to be very correct, on how you control masses of people and the land they say they belong to. And you have them proud of being captives of a whole different system. You're born in a particular land, and now you're so proud to be what? What did he say? He's from Hong Kong?
Let me say this. The Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan did that thing about 25 years ago on the Dominion of America. I watched it because, like I said, it's not to be listened to. It's to be studied. All right? And them guys that was, I don't even remember that incident just the other day. They're talking about you got to take your country back. Guess what? Your country has been taken.
It's been so long ago. You're probably the third generation of the country that has been taken back. So this, we're talking on the same point here, which is if we take the time to really study the credible literature that is out there and available, you can't easily be taken. But it is organized. This thing that happened during this past week, this was in motion and constantly. If you look at the evidence, you would see how many times there had been clashes in Charlottesville, Virginia. It's a slave state.
Mm-hmm.
So it can't possibly be the first time there's been some kind of unrest. No, it is a slave state. Therefore, it operates on a slave mentality. Everybody does. Everybody. Nobody is exempt. Everybody has to be under the same kind of psychological conditioning for things to work.
I remember you told us many, many years ago that all racist. There was no racist in Charlotte. Because in order to be a race, it's a science. You taught us that many, many years ago. You must have. And you can be, you're so stupid. A real racist, you don't know what they're, because they have already taken your country. They have taken your Congress. They have taken your monetary system. And they have taken your medium. And they have taken you. They have just taken your the White House. So you're taken. So
you're done for. All they're waiting for something to happen is that there will be no signs that they're not succeeding. Everything will be fine as long as they are assured that the formula is working, and both sides. Well, I got to go because we're out of time. They're sending me 400 signals saying, get off the air. You're out of time. So I want to thank you all so very much for contributing so meaningfully to each of us by your participation. And this is the beauty of the station and this program. I ask you to pass the word around in your circle about PRN, and I ask you also to continue to contribute meaningfully so that we all benefit. This is my classroom. I come here and I learn a lot. I hope you do too. Stay tuned. Coming up next, Alternative Visions with Dr. Jack Rasmus, and you absolutely will learn something from his program today. It's the weekend. Surround yourselves with positive people and run like hell away from people who bring nothing but misery in your life. Get away from them. And we'll see each other on Monday. And, of course, you'll be getting a lot of news about the latest victim of the in the White House, Steve Bannon, who was fired today. Bye-bye.